February 16, 2024. The depraved and the excellent. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice and victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. Matthew 12:15-21. Now the lessons found in this text are ones that reveal and ones that heal. Tension has been rising in question after question, and accusation after accusation is on its way for Christ. He's been healing, he's been teaching, he's been showing compassion, but Christ will stand above it all. He will overcome all of this. But the heat is rising, even in the midst of such great compassion. Now there is a contrast laid out here, and I'd like to bring it to our attention. There are two. The first is with man, and the second is with Christ. We will start with man. So, number one, man, the depravity of the human heart. Now, in the last verse before this, we see the religious leaders leaving to think of a way that they can destroy him. Jesus had answered all their questions so far. He's made it obvious that he is who he says he is. He has done nothing to them that was sinful. He's perfect. He's only been doing good to the people around him. And yet the thing they want to do is get rid of him. But here we have a clear picture of the human heart. We hear that we are basically good nowadays by the psychiatrists, by the media. If only we could learn more, then our goodness would really shine and things would be different. But this text shows, by the response of the crowds, by the response of the leaders, this text shows that we can see a perfect life and see love expressed in a perfect way and go away grinding our teeth in hatred. Because the unconverted man hates God. The unregenerated man hates God. He will find every reason to destroy the thought of God in his heart, and if given the opportunity, as we see with Christ, would kill God himself. This is why we see men persecuted for righteousness. This is why men have killed prophets, apostles, and missionaries. This is why we have martyrs. It's not because they speak evil or have the worst life and deserve to die. No, it's because they were godly. It's because they are godly. And men hate the light because it exposes their evil. It exposes their darkness. They don't come to it because they don't want to repent from their darkness. They hate God. It shouldn't take us off guard if men despise us for doing good. The truth is clear that even if we are the best of men, and we've talked about this before, we will not be loved by all. Matter of fact, we will be hated by all for Christ. The world doesn't hate true Christians for what they're doing wrong. I know you hear that excuse, but they hate them for their goodness. Indeed, they look for wrong. They search it out like these Pharisees. Men are naturally at war with God. This is the condition of every man apart from Christ. This is man. And he, being depraved at heart, will always in the end go away and craft a plan to destroy Christians and God. That's what they did to Christ. So the first contrast is man. We have depraved man, the depravity of the human heart. The second part of the contrast is the excellence of Christ. It says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, and with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice and victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." So Matthew goes on to quote Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. This is the servant songs. It's from the servant songs. This passage is pointing to Christ. Christ is that servant to come, and Matthew wants us to see it. He wants us to see Christ. Because if we leave ourselves with the first contrast, we leave ourselves in desperate need. We leave ourselves in trouble, in danger. So we need the second contrast, Christ. And as we read this quote, we can see not a Christ who would seem to be the target for murder, but a Christ of excellence and beauty, a Christ who pleases the Father, a gentle Christ who is filled with compassion and truth, a Christ who comes to the weak or the bruised reeds, a Christ who didn't come to despise the downtrodden, an excellent Christ. He came to lift them up, a Christ set apart from any depravity, sinless, a completely opposite Christ. He is holy and perfect. We are depraved and sinful. Men and women in our churches are constantly despairing because they can't get it right. They can't change. They're always coming short. They have fears and doubts. They are constantly falling and short and never adding up. They constantly fall into their sin. They constantly are in problems and troubles. And they by themselves are hopeless. Matthew wants you to see Christ. They need the Christ found in Isaiah 42. You need the Christ found in Isaiah 42. And I need the Christ found in Isaiah 42. We need the servant that Matthew is pointing us to in this passage. We need to see the hope found in this passage. Christ came to men with weak faith. We have a Christ who is here to bring justice and victory. A Christ who is a servant and yet has unseen power. He's plainly seen here. He's here for the bruised reeds, the smoldering wicks, the weak, and the ones with barely enough faith to move a leaf. J.C. Ryle said, "A spark is better than utter darkness, and a little faith better than no faith at all." And Christ came to be considered dead in order to serve and save the weak, the despairing, the ones whose faith is only a flicker, who doesn't have it all together. That's the contrast. That's who we see here in Isaiah 42. That's the point. That's what Matthew wants you to see. He wants us to see the rage in the Pharisees, and he wants us to see the compassion and peerful conduct of Christ. And he wants us to recognize Christ as this servant, because Christ is the fulfillment of this passage. Do we see this? Let us never see this with contempt. Let us cling to Christ. Let us read our Bibles. Let us repent from our sins, because he is all we need. There is a contrast here. We are depraved and we need a Christ, because we, like the Pharisees, with our only natural heart, will want to see him dead. So I pray that is not the case for us today. And with this, let us have a happy Friday.